podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sorry. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Midweek Fix from the LFC Day Trippers. I am Gav, and it's the Merseyside Derby this week. Everton v Liverpool at Goodison Park. We're going to have a look at the whole game. We're going to do some lineup predictions, some score predictions. Rafa Benitez, Jurgen Klopp, all the usual stuff from the Midweek Fix this week. With me so far tonight, and we're hoping to bring one more in, is Kev. Resident Kev and Pricey from Across the Park podcast. We're waiting on Tony to come in from the All Together Now Everton podcast as well, and hopefully will join us shortly. Pricey, first to you, very, very welcome, my man. How are you?
Cheers, yeah, I'm all good, yeah, you? Good. Nice to be on, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. We got through some technical issues in the last 10 minutes, and then we got completely sidetracked by talking about cameras on YouTube and Leeds winning in the last minute with a penalty. So it's my fault. I'll take all the blame for being late to everyone in the YouTube.
Well, you're the one controlling the buttons.
So I can't really blame anybody else, even though I do try most weeks. Look, it is the Merseyside Derby. It's a huge game on so many levels, not just because it's the Merseyside Derby, but because of the form of both sides at the moment and how both sets of supporters are feeling at the moment. And it usually makes for a really tight game, regardless of where both teams are. But, Pricey, I'll come to you. You know, Everton's run of form at the moment isn't great. You know, they're beating away at Brentford at the weekend, and I watched the vast majority of that and thought they were poor. You've seen the reaction from the fans in the ground afterwards. I was actually on BBC Merseyside with Tony last week or the week before, and talking about Rafa Benitez and how he needs time and stuff like that, and how but it always feels like it's on the brink of something one way or the other with him because of who he is and where he's been. But where do you stand on it all? Is it just one of those runs of form, and when you look at what Everton have, you're going to get this?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a while, it was even before the season started, our squad's not great. We've got some really bad players in there who have let us down time and time again over the last couple of years. The manager coming in, not being able to spend money for whatever reason. The players he has, well, two of the players he's brought in Gray and Townsend have been two of our strongest performers so far this season. So I think it's going to be, this season's going to be a season, grin and bear it, get through it. Hope it doesn't end too badly. You know, I can see us being mid-table and then give the manager a couple of transfer windows, and I think he'll turn it around for us and he should be all right. But yeah, form has been worrying last, probably since the Man United game. What's that, last seven games? It's been worrying. We haven't played well. Last few, we haven't even scored or even looked like we're going to score. So it has been disappointing. But from my point of view, I know opinions differ across the supporters groups and stuff, but my own point of view is to give Benitez the time, give him a couple of transfer windows, and I think eventually you'll be able to turn us around.
Is part of that for you the fact that, you know, we know Rafa Benitez, we know he managed Liverpool, we know what's gone on, right? Is part of it for you that you need to push that away and you need to look at Rafa Benitez, the manager himself, and how committed he is to this, because he takes this job because he wants it. It's close to his family. I think it's probably one of his last big jobs. If this is the way he's going, if his family are completely settled in Liverpool and he wants to be near them, this is the one that he's probably going to commit to over probably the last three or four he's had. And Pricey, like, I'll stay with you. Is it something for you where you go, look, he's completely committed. He's being given a situation. He's having to walk through it. It's going to be good and bad. Are you worried though that if they lose tomorrow night and they lose two after that, are you worried that they're just, you know what's coming?
Yeah, there's no getting away from the fact he won't be given as much time as he would be given if he wasn't the ex-Liverpool manager. That's for sure. I mean, in the ground after the Watford game, there was people shouting for him. Not the majority, but you know, you get the vocal minority who are calling for him. So he's not going to be given as much time as he'd probably like. He is going to have to get some results pretty sharpish. He can't have us languishing in the bottom. But the bottom half too much for too long. But as you say, he wanted the job. He wanted to get back in the Premier League. He obviously wanted to be closer to home, which he made no surprise, no secret of. But yeah, I think he is here for the long term. I think he does see it as you know, the word that they all use is the project, and Everton's certainly a project for the right type of manager. I think that's what he sees. He sees himself being able to mould a team. Obviously, the investment will have to come as well, which we will get over the next couple of transfer windows, as I said before. And I think he is in it for the long term. I think there's always the, as I say, the possibility that we lose the next couple and the fans really do turn on him. But at the moment, I think while there is those few, I think the majority of the frustration is higher up. Your Marcel Brand, your Mashiri, your Ken Wright, I think they're the ones who are getting in the neck more than the manager. And that's because of the signings that we've made over the last 4 or 5 years and the lack of a squad we've got at the moment after spending, you know, £500 million.
Yeah, and I think that's the correct place to be looking. You know, far from me to tell you where to look because there's nothing to do with Everton. But for me, looking from the outside in, and I'd say this whether it was Benitez or anybody else, what they have inherited from top to bottom, for me, is a bit of a mess. And, you know, when you throw on top of that who Benitez is, it's like, this is never going to work. Never going to work. And for me as a Liverpool fan, I kind of go, most of the time I go, brilliant. If it's not going to work, I'm absolutely delighted. But this part of me and this is kind of going, well, I am intrigued how long he gets and what he can actually do because he's a brilliant manager. There's no two ways about it. But, you know, like, I think you're spot on. He needs a couple of transfer windows and he needs the right backing as well. And he needs it in the right way. Because I hear all this stuff about Marcel Brands and he picks this and he picks that. Benitez won't have a bar of that. Benitez won't be putting up with that. Like, more or less being told what players he's getting. He won't. And if you give him what he wants, and I'm not saying spend another £500 million, but if you just put the right little bits in place for Benitez, they'll be absolutely fine. But I think it's going to be intriguing, absolutely intriguing to see. Kev, on the other side of things, you know, Liverpool have a disappointing draw at home to Brighton. They lose away at West Ham. They go into the international break. They come back looking like they're a little bit of a different animal. Is this a game you want coming while you're just starting to look and like you're clicking into gear? Or is it one you don't want where you go, I could have done with this maybe another two or three down the line, regardless of what form Everton are in?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I hate this game. I hate everything about it. I hate the toxicity. You're not going to watch them now. I'll watch it, but I'm going to be watching it like that.
Yeah.
And it's, please God, don't get any injuries. Just get the 3 points and go home. And that's all I care about. And as long as that happens, I'm happy. I hate this game. I don't mind Manchester United because you can go there and get a result and it's fine. Everton in that tight ground with fans who are up, it's a horrible fucking ground. I fucking hate it. It's a horrible place. It's a horrible place for anyone to go when the atmosphere is right. If we can go there and get one or two early, and start singing Rafa songs and taking the piss, then God knows what could happen. But no, I hate it. I have always hated it. As long as I can remember, I've always hated this game because I'd say you're nailed on tomorrow night for a red card. And I watched Everton as well the other day and I looked at it and I thought, I didn't realize how bad things were. I knew things were bad, but Decore is a hell of a player.
He's a superb player.
And yeah, when he's fully fit and firing, he's a serious threat to any side. But the rest of it, I just think I think they could lose the head. I honestly think a few of them could lose the head tomorrow night. And it's, God knows what could happen after that.
It's I don't mind it. I don't mind this game at all. I actually started to dread the Anfield one more than the good of someone because it was so long not being beaten at Anfield and stuff like that. And
you're
beaten there last season. And,
yeah,
you know, part of me kind of went, you know, like, what do we expect? The team you had to try to put out and stuff like that. But part of me kind of went, you know what? It's over. It's done with. Whereas the good of someone, I think you're right. I think you don't know what's coming. If Everton show up and put it up to Liverpool, it's usually a good game. A lot of draws.
Lot of draws. Usually not many goals.
No, there's been the odd, there was a 3-3, I think.
Going there was back. A 2-2 there recently.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah. So you get some of these, but then I've seen Liverpool go there with a Champions League final and they're rising in a 4-0 draw. I've seen them go there in 18-19 draw. You know, just plenty of draws, yeah. And it's one of those games. Go on.
Klopp doesn't mind making changes for this game. And he's done it before. Yeah. And he's shocked an awful lot of us with lineups going into this game. You know, where he's dropped Origi in there before. He used to play Lallana quite regularly in these games. And we were all set. You know, the night before, you'd be picking your lineups and what have you. And you go as strong as humanly possible. And then he'd come in and make four or five changes. And you're sat there holding your head in your hands. Why is he doing this? And the reason why he's doing this, and he's right in what he said in the press conference, Klopp views this as another game.
He tries his best to.
But he does it with common sense in mind. He'll look at it and say, look, I'll put out a side to get 3 points. And irrespective of if that's my strongest side or whatever, that's the side I need to get 3 points because of the fitness of X, Y, and Z player. And I expect tomorrow night to be no different. I expect him to make changes. And I think a lot of people are going to lose their head about 7:15 tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, that's like Liverpool lineup time when it comes out. It's a sight to behold across social media, it really is. But, Bryce, coming back to you, like, what are you looking for in Everton tomorrow? Because, like Kev says there, Liverpool get an early one or an early two. If Liverpool are two up in 25 minutes, could the crowd turn massively and it could get a bit toxic? What does Benitez do to stop that? Because Liverpool are playing well. There's no doubt about that. They're playing well. They're scoring goals. They haven't not scored two goals, I think, for about a year, according to some people, in every game. What does Benitez do here? Does he look to go, like, literally, right, two banks, you know, back four, two sitting, really fucking hard working? What does he do? Or does he completely surprise and go, let's go at them and see what happens?
No, not a chance. Will he go at you? No way. Yeah, you're looking at a 4 or 5 nil if we're trying to go toe to toe with you. I think it's going to be a case of. I think Kev made a good point about the crowd. It's under the lights, and there will be a good atmosphere to start. If Liverpool score in the first 10 minutes, that'll soon change. So I think it's a case of not conceding for the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes. See how we get on. Again, half an hour. Let's not concede. Let's be in the game, and then let's get to half time still equal. Whether it's 0-0, 1-1. Let's not lose the game in the first half, and then the second half, maybe we can take a couple of chances. I think he will sit in. I mean, typical Benitez, we've seen it ourselves already this season. He'll sit in, and he'll try and catch you on the counter. It's just whether when we've got the ball, we can be confident on the ball, and we can look at danger. Because again, you know, go back to the Man City game a couple of games ago. We've done the same. We tried to sit in, tried to stay tight, but on the ball, we were awful. So we'll be reliant on us being confident on the ball and having a go. But yeah, sit until half time, see if we can get a goal second half. I think we'll get chances. I think teams who have played Liverpool have had chances, even Southampton at the weekend. Liverpool were really good, but Southampton had a couple of chances, and if they took one or two of those, it'd be different. So I think there will be chances for us. It's just making sure we take them when they come. To go toe to toe would be, I mean, it's not going to happen because Benitez just doesn't ever play like that in any of his teams he's ever been in. I think even at yourselves, he would never play like that way, would he? Defensive first and try and nick a goal is the way to do it. But as I go back to the point of the crowd are going to be massive. We'll all be going into the game as Evertonians. You've got to be up for it, a derby. As much as we've been awful, we're going to go into, you know, come 8 o'clock, we're going to get that buzz in our belly and think that we might be able to nick something and the crowd's going to be up. But it'll be up to Liverpool to try and silence us, or to even, as Kev said, it could even go worse than silence us, and it could go toxic if Liverpool get a couple of goals in the first half. Let's see. I'm just thinking of it, and I'm nervous just even talking myself. Yeah. I'm talking myself into nerves there by doing it. Because
you're sitting here going, what the fuck have I let myself in here for? I'm going to have a nice, easy Tuesday night not thinking about this game instead of talking to these two pricks. But the thing is, like Kev makes the point about the crowd, right? And you're making the point we won't go toe-to-toe, and I completely get that. What's happened with Liverpool for the vast majority of this season, where teams have got something off them, is Liverpool are playing this way where when Liverpool won the title, they used to pen you in, but they penned you in where they had two fellas sitting in midfield, all right, and two centre-backs, and they were really well covered. So they were able to just shift one way, shift the other way, and cut things out, and really pen you in and smother you. this is a different version of Liverpool for me, where they're penning you in, but one of those midfielders is joining in, and we're leaving one midfielder and two centre-backs. So that's where people are getting chances. But Liverpool are willing to take that risk and say, okay, Van Dijk and a Matip plus a Fabinho, we're quite happy with them three, and our full-backs will get back, or another midfielder will get in. We'll take that risk because that extra body is making us have more chances and making us get more goals. That's where we are, right? And I completely get where Everton will come from and say, you know what, they might overcommit, and if we can get whoever it might be on the break, then when we could go through the teams later, if we can do that. The only thing I'd worry for Everton is if Liverpool pinned them in and managed to do it right, regardless whether a goal comes or not, I think the nervousness will just spread across Goodison Park, where it's like every little touch would be nerves. And do you know what it'll remind me of? When Mane scores the winner 4 or 5 years ago at Goodison now, it goes up, I think, for about 7 minutes injury time.
Yeah.
And as soon as it goes up, you hear the whole of Goodison Park groan. The whole fucking ground groans audibly, as if to go, fuck off, another 8 minutes or another 7 minutes of this.
Yeah.
And I that's where I worry for the Everton side, where I say, if Liverpool do this right, regardless if you don't score in the first 15, how much will Everton fans put up with being penned in and being just played around? And I don't know. I think
we're going to expect that, though. I think we're going to expect to have to defend and to have to sit in. So we'll be going into the game knowing that, it's like you say, the nerves will still be there, and it might translate onto the pitch and whatever else. But I think we're going into it as fans. We're not stupid. We know how it's been the last few games. We know what Liverpool are like. We'll be going in expecting that. And as you say, I think the chances we might get is maybe if Alexander-Arnold goes a bit forward and we can get Townsend or Gray in them areas and then pockets of spaces and use the ball efficiently and try and get them into the game. But it's going to be what you've just said there about the stoppage time. It will be like that from near the first whistle. Every attack Liverpool have will be the intake of breath from the Evertonians and the hope. But if we ride it out till half time and we're not, you know, if we didn't live level or at least not two goals behind to come half time and there's a chance in it, then you know I'd probably take that at this stage.
Just some updates from the chat. Red Steve says, just point out that it's only one prick, Gav, not two. He said Kev is sound, which is fair. Alex had the fake coronavirus, as he called it, but it was annoying him for a while, which means he was suffering. But he's back now, so that's good as well. So we've cleared that up, that Kev's not a prick and Alex is not sick anymore. So that's good in the chat. Kev,
yeah.
Where do we go from with regards to Liverpool? What way do we approach it? Do we look to approach this where we look to pen them in, or do we do what we do a lot of times when we go away from home in these bigger games, where we say, let's look and see what's going on and then try go from there? We need to, like, Kev, what I'm trying to say is, Kev, we should be going out and just stamping our authority on this from the very first minute.
The thing is, if Everton concede to the halfway line, then it's only a matter of when, not if. It's going to, and how many. If they're brave, and the thing is what Brighton did. Brighton didn't play with a striker. If Rondon is on the team sheet tomorrow night, then I'm delighted. The best thing you can do against Matip and Van Dijk is don't play a forward. Don't play a striker. There's no need, because you don't have a striker that can beat them for pace. You don't have a striker that's strong enough to beat them physically. So what you're going to do, you're just going to waste a player. If Everton play with the two wingers and then split them, like split strikers, and then cram the midfield, play them as two wide strikers and cram the middle of the pitch and play for the counters that way, that gives Van Dijk and Matip a problem. But if Everton concede to the halfway line and we pin them in, then we'll go to town. We will. Thiago will have a field day.
I think Rondon playing will be a 10-man for Everton anyway, just the way he's been this season. But you're absolutely right. What he seems to want to do, even though he's not very good at doing it, is pinning the centre half and being there. So if he's playing up front on his own, or even, you know, with Richarlison, maybe he's just going to be so easy to defend against for Van Dijk and Matip. So I totally agree with you. I think it'd be
how fit is Richarlison?
Well, he's all right. He was suspended at the weekend because he got 5 yellow cards. So he's fit and ready to play, as far as I know, unless anything's changed. But last time I was looking, he's fit. So he'll be a no-brainer to start, probably in place of Rondon, I'd say, for the reasons you've just said, really. I think Rondon would just be a waste of everyone's time if he was stood up there with, you know, in Van Dijk's pocket or in Matip's pocket.
Yeah, I think there's so many ways to look at it. I think we have Tony on the line now as well. Tony, how are you, my man?
I'm good, thanks. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah. Absolutely fine. Price is delighted you turned up here because Reds having a go at Everton for the last 25 minutes. But I think we've been all right, Pricey.
We've been all right.
Constructive.
But do you know what? Before we move away from it, Tony, I'll get straight in and I'll ask you. We've talked to Pricey, we've talked to Kev, I've given my little bit on it as well. What way do Everton approach this for you?
Obviously, they'd have to sit back and look to counter-attack on Liverpool. It's what West Ham did so well a couple of weeks ago, and it's what Everton did so well for the early parts of the season. Under Benitez, when they had Calvert-Lewin fit, but the problem is that they haven't got a centre-forward to play like that. From what I'm led to believe, there could be a couple of surprises in the Everton team tomorrow, which is very interesting to say the least. I just can't see Everton getting anything out of it. They were, even if they set up to go at Liverpool, gung-ho and fly at them, I think the crowds will play a huge part in how Everton play. If a player gets rattled in the first minute, the crowd are up for it. I think Everton's tactics could go out the window and it'll just make it so difficult for Liverpool throughout the whole 90 minutes. Liverpool see a lot of the ball and Everton just look to counter when they can. So I think if Everton have got a chance of scoring, it'll probably be from a set piece. But we know Everton and Liverpool have been quite susceptible from set pieces this season, haven't they? So, yeah, I think if Everton just get stuck into Liverpool, that's all they want to see. Just a bit of effort, because that's what we haven't seen in the past 5 or 6 weeks.
I've just been saying that about our crowd's going to be massive, I think. I think we'll all go into it up for it. And if Liverpool get an early goal, I think it could change and it could go completely flat. So I think you're right. I think an early challenge, a good old-fashioned tackle, by your Godfrey or your Allen, get everyone off for it, get crowd on board, and then make sure we don't concede first 20 minutes. And I think, you're right.
If there's one thing Benitez is good at, regardless of who he has in his team, it's setting up to frustrate, setting up to defend really, really well. And I don't know, like even watching against Brentford, he didn't give up many chances, Everton. Like, if you look at the game, they didn't give up many chances. You know, they even second half when Brentford are trying to play on the break, they shut it out fairly easily. It is a penalty that they get given against them. It is a penalty, and he puts it away well. But overall, for me, it was more the Everton creating was the issue. I felt sorry for Demarai Gray. I thought he was excellent when he came on. Like
He's been a hell of a pickup, hasn't he?
Breaking lines. He was, you know, getting past defenders. He put two or three in there, and Calvert-Lewin is fit. He's literally on a hat-trick there at the weekend against Brentford. But Benitez will most definitely look to, and like Tony says, might be a couple of surprises. He may just go, listen, I'm putting this guy here and this guy here, and everyone will go, what are you doing? But it might work, because that's the form Benitez has over the years, you know. But Tony, I'll stick with you. When you're saying a couple of surprises for that team, what way do you see them lining up? Because I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see where he goes. With the run of form he's on, plus what game it is, I think it's going to be very interesting. Because is it a time to mess things about a little bit?
What I would want is I'd have Richarlison up front, I'd have Demarai Gray and Anders Townsend behind, and I'd play Delph, Decore and Allen as a three. That's what I'd personally do. But what I'm led to believe tomorrow, there's just going to be surprise after surprise and no one's going to guess the lineup. There's going to be players there that haven't kicked a ball for a long while. It looks as though he's going with freshness, if I'm what I'm led to believe, a couple of the players are actually playing. So I think he's just going for lads with a point to prove, so to speak. So yeah, it's going to be very intriguing if that's the lineup. But I will play personally 4-3-3 and have Townsend and Gray behind Richarlison, but I don't think he's going to do that.
Pricey.
I'm intrigued to know. Come on, Tony. What have you heard?
Because I'm wondering if Calvert-Lewin is back.
I've heard, believe it or not, Cenk Tosun is starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over Rondon.
One or two others as well. But yeah, I believe Cenk Tosun is starting.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. That's a decision that could get him to chop.
He's if he goes badly,
that could get him to chop.
Apparently Rondon is actually playing as well. I'm led to believe as well. Rondon.
But you see, this is what Benitez is.
No, I'm bad enough, Tony. Don't give me that now.
He's got on the cans.
Pricey was regretting coming on, and because his nerves were gone, and now Tony's doing this one. It's fucking great. But this is what Benitez does.
This is the only rumours what I've been told. That's all. So
far. Oh, fair enough.
Good stuff.
When he was at Newcastle, he played. Because you remember that Dutch left wing back that scored against us, William.
Oh, yeah.
He played a version of a 3-5-2 against us when he was at Newcastle. And he'd done it a couple of times. I wouldn't be surprised if he changes the shape to go some way to contain and double up on Trent and Mo and Sadio and Robbo and try to leave one player free for the counter. And the only way to do that is with a back three.
We haven't got three centre backs.
You don't need three centre backs. Seamus Coleman would play centre back.
Yeah, he's done it for Ireland.
Yeah, he has. And you play Townsend as a right wing back,
which would be crazy. It's
a possibility, but I wouldn't trust Seamus Coleman as a centre back.
He was good for us when he did it.
He was decent for Ireland.
Very good for us, actually.
Declan Mack, reading into Tony's comments, has Big Dunk and David Weir starting tomorrow. should be some laugh as well. But look, Benitez, we know he can go and do mad things. And like I said, he won't be bothered by Everton fans and reactions and stuff like that. He's there to get a result. And that's one thing you will say about him. He's very... You know, when he sees something, he would go for it and he'd absolutely stand by his convictions. With regards to Liverpool, though, Kev said earlier he feels that Klopp might make a few changes and, you know, he just sees it as another game. I think Klopp tries to see it as another game, but sometimes you have to just turn around and go, it's probably not just another game. It's just, you know, it's Liverpool versus Everton. It's not just another game. But I know the psyche in going, listen, it's another 3 points. You only get 3 points, you don't get anything else. Well, bragging rights is huge, I suppose. But I don't know how many changes Klopp makes. You know, I looked at that game against Southampton at the weekend and all I could see was just Konate out and Matip in. And he plays that back four and he plays Thiago, Henderson, Fabinho midfield and he puts Jota and he puts Mane and he puts Salah up front. Kev, can you see any changes to that?
I can see Origi or Taki getting a game.
Really?
Then the only I said it last night to the lads when they were on, and I think it was Steve. I said, "Are you taking the piss?" And I said, "No, because he will look at it in players who might have a load on." And we've had a lot of players that played full international breaks, played back to back games so far since they've come back. You have a Wednesday game, you have a Saturday 3 o'clock game, then you have another game next week midweek. He will make changes. He's made 3 or 4 changes per game as the season's gone on. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Now, whether he takes Sadio out or Jota and plays one of Taki or Origi, I don't know. But I'm expecting to see at least 2 or 3 changes from the Southampton game. It's either that or he's going to have to make a shedload of changes on Saturday.
Yeah, away to Wolves Saturday, isn't it?
And Wolves are playing in decent form.
Yeah, they're in decent form, but
yeah,
I can't see it. I know, but
Klopp looks at this very German. It's points. That's it. That's all he cares about. He takes the emotion out of it. It's 3 points. This is a side that's good enough to go and beat Everton. Go and beat Everton. Get 3 points and move. That's the way he's going to look at it. And that's why he's so successful, is he doesn't get drawn into the emotion of... That's why when we went on that title run and we got so far ahead, it was everything was next game. Not two, three, four, five games ahead. It was the next game. And put it away and go again and put it away and go it again. And that's the way he'll look at it. What I would do is completely irrelevant. I wouldn't make any changes, but I can see him making a few. I made one. I bring Matip in, but that's only purely and simply because Matip is fucking genius. But
yeah, I would have done Matip for Konate and left it as is, you know. But, you know, they have got Wolves away at the weekend, and if he sees it as just another game of football, he might do something with regards to even a midfield and say, okay, you know. the way I look at it is he's kind of nearly brought Henderson and Thiago back in at a rate where he was literally building them up for this game. You know, you know the sort of way he's literally planning himself for
the way
for this
he game. Could he could do the midfield as is and then maybe bring Milner on for the last half hour with a view for Milner to start against Wolves or Ox to come in and play against Wolves, that kind of way. But I honestly think that's how he views games. It's literally managing players and managing what's in front of him and take everything else out of it. And just literally just metronomic and go like that. I don't think he looks at it any other way.
Okay. Let's do... Can I talk to you, Pricey? I'll come to you. Richarlison. What's going on there? He wasn't around at the weekend. No?
No, suspended at the weekend, wasn't he?
Was it just a suspension? Because I was looking around going... Okay. Oh, I actually thought it might be a suspension because I'm going, he's not in the squad. He wasn't listed as injured. So where does he come into the team? Because he has to play.
Well, yeah, I would have thought he would have went up front, but what Tony's saying, maybe that's not the case, but I would have just brought him. I mean, he works better when Calvert-Lewin's on the pitch with him. I don't think he's a number nine. He's not very good at holding it up, or he's not as good as you'd expect him to be holding it up. He proved it against Man City the other week. So if I was... Before I came on here tonight, I would have thought he'd go up front. I would have thought it would have been possibly Townsend just behind him, with Gray and maybe Gordon playing. That's what I say. If he's not, if those two are playing and he's fit, which he is fit, then I'd probably see him going wide, which he's played in the past, and he plays that role pretty well, either on the left or the right. So, I mean, I don't know what Tony thinks. I think if it was me, I would play Richarlison up front.
Tony, I'd be surprised if he's doing Tosin, Rondon, and he's putting Richarlison into that side as well.
Maybe there's a method to his madness, because if he plays Richarlison on the wing, then does that stop your Trent Arnolds from pushing up or whoever? If he goes on one wing and the other, will he be more reluctant to push up Robertson if he's on that side, if he knows he's got to chase back for Richarlison? So he may be thinking about that. One thing that you do get from Richarlison is hard work and effort. And Everton haven't had that for a while on the wings, especially when Alex Iwobi's playing. So to stop Liverpool, their main threat in Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, that's probably a way to counter-attack that by playing Richarlison on the wing. But they were just rumours that I got tonight in terms of Tosin and Rondon. I hope they're wrong. I really do. And I will play Richarlison up top all day long because he'll run and run and run all day. He owes Everton a big performance, Richarlison. 5 bookings for the centre-forwards. Well, we've played 12 games. That's stupid. It's ridiculous, really, for the centre-forwards. So, yeah, he cost us at Brentford when we needed him. He's had a week's rest. So we'd be jumping at the bit for tomorrow night.
I'm just thinking of all the names in my head, and I would have been surprised if he didn't do Richarlison off one side, Demarai Gray off another, and one of your strikers up front, and just went right. That's what we're pinning our hopes on. But Demarai Gray comes on for 20 minutes against Brentford, and I remember the commentators even going, he was injured last week. You know, they didn't think he was going to make this game, and he's putting him on for 20. Pricey, was that something? Were you surprised that you'd seen him on? Because the talk all through the week was Demarai Gray is the next man onto Everton's injury list.
I think it came out during the week that it wasn't as bad as the first fear, because when he first went off against City, I think they were expecting it to be a good few weeks. But then as the week went on, it was coming out of the club that it wasn't as bad as they feared. So the fact he played 20 minutes on Saturday, and he was arguably our best player when he did come on, and he was the one who was trying to, creating anything. So if he's fit, he plays, as far as I'm concerned. Him and Richarlison on each wing could work. I think Tony's spot on. I think it'd be a good way to counter what Liverpool are trying to do by pushing their fullbacks forward. And you can sort of see it happening as well. But no, I think if he's fit, he plays.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, you talk about the fullbacks, Liverpool's fullbacks, and will they push on? I think they would. I genuinely think they would. You see Liverpool, and they kind of try to turn that on its head by going Richarlison and say Demarai Gray, are you willing to chase back? Are you willing to come back with me all the way? And especially with Trent, he's willing to go and go and go. And, sometimes when you look at that, I look at it sometimes and say to myself, who's Trent up against today? And if he's an attacker that's really good going forward, but it's hard walking, I kind of get more concerned because that player is willing to have the engine, you know, to go back with Trent and then, you know, make it a race to the other end of the pitch when things break. But I think it's going to be interesting. All this talk of 4-5-0 for Liverpool, I think, is way off the mark. Absolutely way off the mark. I think the fact that Everton are in bad form and Benitez kind of has to come out and show something. And if he's willing to, you know, take the deck of cards and bundle them up and see what happens, like Tony says, I think it's classic Benitez. And if he is willing to do that, you can be goddamn sure he was doing it from Sunday morning. And he's had them out on the training pitch going, this is what we're doing on Wednesday, and we're not moving from it for nobody. And because that's the way he is. He loves getting teams on pitches and saying, right, this is what we're going to do in this situation, he's meticulous. I think it's so interesting, this game. I don't think it's going to be one of those landslides, you know, where we've expected it for years. To go to Goodison and put one on Everton in a big way for years. And it never happens. Never happens. United this season happens because Liverpool just destroy a terrible Manchester United side. But we've been expecting that for 4 years. And we've gone there and I think drawn two and lost one before we go and win there. You know, we win last season behind closed doors. But it never really happens like that. And I think people looking at Everton's form and saying, look how bad they are and Liverpool are so good, that's usually a recipe for everything just going completely wrong when you go in way too confident. But Kev, come on, I have to get Liverpool lineup off you. I want the Liverpool lineup.
Right. Okay, Alisson, Trent, Matip, Virgil, Robbo, Fabinho, Henderson, Chamberlain.
Okay.
And I think it'll be Mane, Origi, and Salah.
Okay, Mane,
Origi. That's how I think it'll
and
be.
Salah. Okay. Pricey. Everton side place. Try walk in Tony's predictions and your feelings as well.
Well, I hope I don't have to. I'm not going to go with. Fair enough. If Tosin and Rondon are playing, but I'm not going to put that in my prediction because
if that goes into prediction, I'd start drinking now.
I'd put Pickford in goal. Coleman, Luca Dean, Keane, and Godfrey, because they're basically the only two centre halves you've got to be fit. I would go 4-4-2. I'd go Allen and Decore, Gordon, Gray, and then I'd put Townsend behind Richarlison up front. That's how I do. I think that'd give us the pace to counter. But I get Tony's point about having an extra man in midfield, and Delph could do that well, but I'd go 4-4-2. It's what we've played most of the season. I'd stick with that personally.
Okay. Tony, for you?
I think Everton will go 4-4-2. I think, as Pricey's just touched on there, the back four basically picks itself with Coleman, Godfrey, Keane and Luca Dean. Obviously Pickford in goal. I go Alan and Decore. Don't be surprised if he throws someone in like Gbamin just for fresh legs, because he knows the Liverpool players have played a lot of games at the moment, as Kev was touching on before. And whether he could do with the rest now or on the weekend, don't know. But I think Everton will freshen it up. But I think he'll go 4-4-2, Alan Decore. I think he'll put Richarlison on the wing, he'll put Tomani Gray on the other wing or Townsend, and Rondon and Tosin up front, just so we can boast an aerial threat, especially from set pieces, because if Everton are going to score, they've got a good chance it'll be from a set piece. So they start flooding the box and they can get players to hold the ball up, because it's no good if Everton play one up front and it's just Van Dijk's got a cigar out. It's just ball's just going to be coming back to us left, right and centre. So if we can put pressure on Tosin and Rondon, work the centre backs to try and make themselves as awkward as possible. I think they'll go 4-4-2, but don't be surprised if the likes of Gbamin or Tosin or someone just out from the cold start tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's hard to predict because of the form Everton are in. If Everton were in half decent form, we just go same again from the weekend or maybe one or two here. But because of the form they're in, it's Benitez. I think it's hard to predict. Liverpool wise, I would genuinely go with the same team to beat Southampton, but Konate out and Matip in. Just because Matip's used to this game.
I think the first 10 minutes of the match, you know, it's a saying, it's an old cliche, but they are so, so crucial. Mm-hmm. If Everton can get through the first 10 minutes and start making themselves into the game. So hang on, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, it's still 0-0. All of a sudden, they start to grow in confidence. The crowd will be behind them. If Liverpool score in the first 10 minutes, the grounds will be empty. And that'll be the difference. So yeah, the first 10 minutes are absolutely pivotal, critical to how the result will probably pan out.
We did say that earlier before you come on as well, yeah. Like how big that 10 minutes is or 20 minutes or even how the game starts if Liverpool mm-hmm. just go on the front foot and just pen Everton in. I think the reaction to the crowd is huge, but I'd be amazed if Everton don't go three in midfield. Simply because the way Liverpool's midfield at the moment is working is Fabinho is protecting. Thiago's pulling strings and Henderson is actually getting more and more advanced. And Thiago has a couple of goals as well in the last couple of games. I'd be amazed if he didn't go three in midfield and nearly go 4-5-1. But making sure that the wide men in that five are a threat. You know, if he's looking at Southampton from the weekend, he's saying, if we're good enough and try to defend really well against Liverpool, they will give us chances on the break, because they do. There's no, you can't deny that. You can't sit here and say Liverpool are brilliant and they don't give away chances. They absolutely do. They give, and they're willing to. And they're nearly willing to. They're nearly willing to say, we're going to go so hard up front here that we might give one away at the other end, but we trust the lads at the other end to either defend it or save it, i.e. Alisson in goal. So I wouldn't be messing around for this. We've seen against Southampton, we're 3-4-0 up and we take Thiago off on 59. You know, we take Jota off. We make those substitutions with 30 and 20 and 20 or 15 minutes to go. We're resting players there. Like, that's it. No problem. And I'm always of the opinion, if you're winning games, it doesn't care if you play Wednesday and then play Thursday for me. If you're winning games and you're flying, you're willing to go out and play every day of the week. And I think away to Wolves at the weekend shouldn't be in our psyche going into that game tomorrow night against Everton. I want to just touch on a couple of players. Pricey, I'll come to you. Luca Dean. I watched him at the weekend and he amuses me what he gets involved in football games. He was just mad stuff, like... how's his form been? Because, you know, I think he's a good fullback. I think he's a really good fullback. But I was watching him at the weekend and thinking to myself, concentration levels, are they great? He seems to be getting involved in stuff on the pitch where he shouldn't really be. Where is Luca Dean at the moment? Because, I don't know, there's something not right there for me.
I think his form has dipped, definitely, but I think it's partially to do with the way he's being asked to play. I think what his quality was always getting forward and overlapping and causing a threat going up. I think Benitez likes his fullbacks to sit a bit deeper, and I think because of that, I think he's suffered a little bit. He hasn't had that freedom that he's had in the past, so I think that's partially to do with it. But I mean, I was saying to one of my mates at the weekend, I thought he was really poor on Saturday or Sunday, wasn't it? I thought he was really poor then, and his form has dropped, but as I say, it's partially the way Benitez has got to play, and I think he's holding them back in terms of not going forward. I mean, he's one of them players when he's good, he's really good, but he can have a really bad game where he stinks the place out. And I think Sunday was one of those games when he wasn't particularly good for me.
Yeah, he just seemed to be getting involved in little bits with Sergio Canos, and I was like, there's no need to get involved here. You know, you're losing the game. You need to go and play the game. And he was nearly wasting time on Brentford's behalf. But I think you're right. I think I used to watch Luca Dean for Everton, and he'd be bombing around his sides and looking to get to the byline and getting balls across, where he seems to be more reserved when he gets it. He seems to be 20, 25 yards from goal and giving it to Gordon. And literally standing back as if to say, right, Gordon, you're the one allowed into that area to try to do things now. Whereas, and I don't think it's suiting them. But it's just one that kind of came up.
It's the players in front of him as well. He hasn't had particularly, you know, as much as Gordon's done all right, he's a young player coming in. I don't think he's had anyone particularly good, you know, of quality in front of him that he can give the ball to and have the confidence that they're going to, first of all, take the ball on, but secondly, get back and defend when he needs them to as well. So I think that's playing on his mind, especially on Sunday when, as I say, Gordon's a good player, but he's quite immature as a player as well at the minute.
Yeah, he is. He's a young player coming, you know, and he does he has got talent, Anthony Gordon. But like especially when you're going through a tough time, you know, as a young player, the nerves and the expectation has probably doubled on you, you know, as a forward player as well, if they're struggling for goals. But I think if Benitez trusts a player that young at that age, I think there's definitely something about him, because Benitez is usually would go for something more experienced, but he's sticking with him. Tony, in the middle of the park for Everton, we were saying earlier before he came on, Decore is a fantastic footballer. I just think he is. I think he has everything about him. You know, he gets forward, he gets back, he's strong, eye for a pass and stuff like that. But Alan, I watched at the weekend and I was a little bit surprised by him, because I think he's a really good player. But there seems to be an awful lot of emphasis on him to be taking the ball from deep and trying to open Brentford up with rake and passes. And I didn't think that was in his game. How big is it for them to dovetail properly tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's very difficult to analyse Alan over the past 5 or 6 weeks, because there's been no Decore. The two of them, they play well together. Decore's game goes to another level because he knows he's got the ability to venture up the pitch, knowing Alan will be sitting in front of the back four. But yeah, we've seen it at Brighton this season, where Alan can literally cut through a nice defensive split pass and then Everton have scored from. So he has got that in his locker. But I think the thing is with Everton's midfield is that it's so reliant on Decore. And when he's not playing, they're a totally, totally different team. You're not relying on Tom Davis or Andre Gomez or Fabian Delph. And it's chalk and cheese. It really is. Decore is absolutely key for Everton tomorrow. He really, really is. And there's only one or two players there, I say, will get in many the top four teams in Everton's team. Calvert-Lewin being one, probably, and Decore being the other. Decore's been absolutely brilliant for Everton. And I'm glad he's back for tomorrow, because him and Alan will be a nice combination to have back for arguably the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, I think when we talk about what way Everton will play, will they look to go on the break? Decore is the sort of fella that can literally break up something at the edge of your box, and 7-8 seconds later, he's in the opposition's box looking to head or shoot or, you know, get something on target. I think he is. He's really, really, really good. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is a massive miss, because I remember watching Dominic Calvert-Lewin going back a couple of years ago, and he used to run the channels, and he wasn't really a centre forward for me. He used to run channels, work really hard, and then there was, where is he? Why isn't he in the box? But he couldn't be in two places at once. He was down in the corner flag trying to retrieve balls, and then people ask him, why isn't he in the box to score? But he kind of, the evolution of him over a couple of seasons where he just stayed in between, you know, the lines of the box. And I don't know how much Duncan Ferguson had an effect on that, because Ferguson, being at the club, probably told him, listen, you're a centre forward, get into positions to score, everything else will come. And he's a huge loss. He's so fucking good in the air. He really is. Like, he scores against Liverpool there, is it the season before last? And he's miles in the air. Like, I don't know how he's up that high. But he's so good in the air, and he's a massive loss. And do you know what? People criticise Benitez's way of playing football. I think he would fly under Benitez, because he would absolutely play the game to suit Dominic Calvert-Lewin. How long is it before he's back, lads?
I think, from what I was led to believe, is that he was touch and go for the derby. He should be on the bench for Arsenal on Monday. Okay. So we need him desperately. And you touched on all his attributes there. He's brilliant. His games come on leaps and bounds. He has Ancelotti to thank for that as well. Mm. It's very rare you see a player who's so strong, he's brilliant in the air, who's fast, can hold the ball up. He ticks, if you're looking for like your centre forward, he ticks a lot of boxes, as in what you're looking for, pace, power, engine, everything. Scoring goals, he's now got the confidence and to pick up the number 9 shirt. He takes penalties now, and he doesn't care. And I love that confidence about him. Obviously, he's been well documented how he likes his fashion, but he doesn't care, and I like that about him. I love the confidence that he's got.
Is the problem for Everton next summer being able to keep Decore, being able to keep Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison? Because you need a rebuild. You need proper investment in that squad with someone who's capable of bringing in proper players. And you've been led up the garden path so much over the last few years. Is it a case that you're going to have to do what we did with Coutinho in Celta Bay? And yeah, have to... how strong is it? How difficult, how worried are you guys about that possibility? You know, because look, you just said it yourself. He's English. He's the future, and he's got it all.
And he has the premium is there, isn't it, when he's English? The premium is there on the price.
I think they'll sell Richarlison in the summer. I think they'll sell him to PSG. I think that's probably, wouldn't be surprised if that's already negotiated behind the scenes for when Mbappe goes to Real Madrid. I'm not saying it's going to be a replacement, but I think I can see Richarlison going to PSG and then Evan have got, 70 million to rebuild maybe, depending on that. But I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I think they will be absolutely uproar if they were to sell this lad. They really, really will be. And if it, as you just touched on, it's premium. Young lad, ticks a lot of boxes. You can afford
Man City. I'm just thinking Man City and definitely a Newcastle.
If Newcastle
are going to rebuild a side,
he's not going to play in the championship.
If they manage to stay up, which is at the minute is a huge if, this is the problem that every Premier League club is going to have to deal with. Is you've got the equivalent of PSG in our league, and they don't give a shit. They will spend, and upside to it is, you guys need the money, and you need to reinvest in the squad and give, whether it's Rafa or whoever the manager is, give him a chance.
But the thing about that is, and these lads are probably better placed to answer that, but in my opinion, right, they need a rebuild. I hate the fucking word rebuild, but they need new blood. They need to probably let the manager put a stamp on it a little bit. But I'm sorry, if Everton Football Club want to do anything and back Benitez properly, part of that backing is you don't move Decore, you don't let Decore go, you don't let Dominic Calvert-Lewin go, and you probably don't let go of Godfrey, who's been really good. Right? Yeah, everybody else is up for discussion. Right now, not all of them will go. Some of them might, some of them might not. But you know, it's like we said, the price he said earlier. It's a couple of transfer windows. You can't just turn around. This isn't a game where you turn around and go, right, six of them out and six of them in next August, then we go from there. It's simply not that. And part of the backing is not always just financial. It's basically turning around going, I'm going to protect this club from losing A, B, and C. All right? And that's it. And we move from there. I get your point about Man City with regards to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, because when Harry Kane didn't happen, Dominic Calvert-Lewin was the next name in my mind, just simply because of the type of player he is. But Everton have to back the manager and say, this A, B and C. Now, Richarlison, I think, will be the one. I think if they want to free up some funds, that's where they go with. But they'll probably end up saying to Benitez, listen, if you get 60 million for him, we're giving you 40 of it to spend. You know, we have to put some money aside for whatever reason it might be. And that's the way you'll have to look. But that's still backing him. And the biggest backing you can get next summer for me is Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Ben Godfrey and Decore. It has to be that. Pricey, surely you can't just go dismantling this squad and probably the three best, well, definitely the best player in it for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You can't do that.
No, I can't agree with Tony. If you settle Calvert-Lewin, they'd be murdered. It's just not an option. And the point about Newcastle, I think if Calvert-Lewin's going to leave, again, Newcastle have got money and stuff, but he'll only want to go higher than ever. He's not going to want to go to Newcastle despite the money that they've got and they can entice him. I think if he's on an upward trajectory, if he leaves Everton to your Man Cities or, you know, your clubs in the top four, if we can salvage it. Not saying I want to sell Richarlison, but if we need to generate some money by selling Richarlison and we can buy two decent players for that money, then that's a goer. And I think Benitez will want to work that out if he can. But Calvert-Lewin, as much as you can probably get for him, you've got to look at who you can replace him with, and I don't think you can replace Calvert-Lewin as easily as you might be able to replace Richarlison, just basically because of the goals.
What age is Dominic Calvert-Lewin? No, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, well, 20, I don't know, 22, isn't he? 23,
something like that. Yeah. So it's not like he's 25, 26, and he's looking for the mega contract during his career, where it brings him up to probably 30, and then he gets one big one before he finishes his career. He's at 22. He can easily do another season or two with Everton, and then look, if he wants to move on because he wants to, you know, Everton haven't progressed as he wants to and stuff like that, which is absolutely fine. He's given plenty of years to Everton, but any suggestion of Everton willing to even listen to offers for Dominic Calvert-Lewin is mind-blowing to me.
And it's Everton selling it to him, isn't it? We're Everton are building a team around Calvert-Lewin. If Benitez has got a plan and he's allowed to carry that plan out, as I say, over the next couple of transfer windows, and Calvert-Lewin's the mainstay and he's the guy they're building the team around, then that's a confidence boost for him to be at a club that he enjoys being at. He seems to like being at Everton. If we're building a team around him, we've got the new stadium coming up, we can sell that to him. I can see him being happy to stay at Everton and being the main man at Everton rather than going to Man City and not being the main man.
Yeah, and I think just
with the Calvin Lewin situation, who's going to buy him for the money Everton will be wanting from? He's just touched on Manchester City, but apart from that, obviously he's not going to Liverpool. There'd be absolute riots on the streets if that was to happen. Chelsea have got Lukaku. Man United have got, obviously, a flurry of centre-forward. So who's going to pay, what, the best part of 80 million for him?
In fairness, Manchester United have got two 35-year-olds, you know, yeah. So...
I'm surprised United didn't go something serious on Dominic Calvert-Lewin in probably the last 18 months. But United and Forsyth don't go together at the moment. They just, you know,
they've got Rashford, Greenwood.
They've Rashford, Greenwood, but I think an out-and-out
centre. You've got Cavani and Ronaldo as well. Which
an out-and-out centre forward, I think, is a big thing for United. And you're probably going to see that over the next couple of months with Rangnick coming in and what he wants to do. But... Lads, I have to get score predictions. Tony, score predictions and the rules on this show are, if you're predicting any goals for your team, you must tell me who scores them.
Head says 4-1, heart says 2-2.
Okay. If
Liverpool scored early, I think it could get silly. Just because of the atmosphere and the negativity surrounding Everton Football Club at the moment. So I think it could get silly if Liverpool scored early. If they don't, I think Everton could get something out of it the longer the game goes on. If they could get to half-time and it's 0-0, all of a sudden, the Evertonians start on the sun in this four. It could get a set-piece. So yeah, go on, I'll say 2-2, and I will say a set-piece goal from maybe a centre-back, Michael Keane, or maybe a goal from Richarlison, but they'll definitely be a send-off.
Okay. Kev?
I'd take a 2-0 win. Think Sadio Mane is due. He's been playing well recently. That pass the other day for Robbo for the first goal, for Jota's first goal, through the legs, it's just pure silk. I wouldn't be surprised to see Virgil get on the score sheet again. But I agree with what Tony said there. If Everton went with the lineup that he suggested, you're going to have 5'6", 6'2", 6'3" players. There'll be a threat from set pieces, but I fancy us. We're on a run now of clean sheets. We're doing really well, so I hope for a clean sheet, and a 2-0 will do me absolutely fine.
Okay. Pricey, you can do hard, you can do heart, you can do whatever you want.
Well, I'll do heart. You don't become an Evertonian for all these years without getting your hopes built completely up before they get smashed again. So I might as well go for a 2-1 for Everton. I can definitely see us scoring regardless, because I think there'll be chances and I think we'll get a goal. So I'm just going to go purely heart, and why not say Everton 2-1, Decore and Richarlison. Might as well have a goal, mightn't we?
Okay. Red Steve has a 6-0 to Liverpool. Trouble Laker has 3-1 to Liverpool. 2-0 from Gar to Liverpool, 4-1 to Liverpool, 3-0. You're obviously going to get all these Liverpool and the Liverpool chat. Not many putting Everton in there. I'm going to say 3-1 Liverpool. An early goal is huge. I agree with Tony and Pricey has said it as well. If Liverpool get an early goal, the reaction from players, I just think those players, if they go 1-0 down early, are probably thinking back to the final whistle against Brentford, where they're absolutely getting hammered. And they're like, oh, this is coming again, but on a much bigger scale because we're playing at home. But I agree with you lads when you say if they hold on and they hold on, and I think they might. I think Liverpool might go 2-0 up. Everton might get one back, but Liverpool will end up winning a 3-1. Goals-wise, I can't look past Jota at the minute. I think his movement is unbelievable. I like Godfrey a lot. I'm not a huge fan of Keane. I think movement hurts him and hurts him badly. And I think Jota, just the way he moves, and we showed a shot chart from him, and he's just not interested in football outside the box, but put it in there and he's ridiculous. So I would go Jota. I fancy Henderson to get one because he's being that advanced, and I'm not looking past Mo Salah either. And that's why I asked you about Luka Dean, because I think he looks like he's concentrating on other stuff rather than just playing this game. He seems to be getting dragged into other stuff. And you do that against Salah, he's like, regardless of who you support, when you watch Mo Salah play football every week, it's like, what is going on here? He's absolutely ridiculous. So I'm going to go 3-1. But I think it's a 3-1 where Rafa probably comes out with a little bit of credit as to how Everton have played and performed. That's the way I look at it, because I don't go along with the, we're going to bash them 4-5 and 6-0. I just don't. I show me the last time Liverpool won 4-5 or 6-0 at Goodison Park. It's a long time ago. So it's for me, it's 3-1. Lads, I can't let you go without asking you where about your podcast, where people can find them and stuff like that. Tony, I'll start with you. All Together Now, Everton Podcast. Where can people find you if they want to go and have a look?
Yeah, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, the All Together Now Everton Podcast. We record mainly at the Bramley Moor, our future home, myself and Greg O'Keefe. And we have numerous guests on every single week. Per week, match reactions, match previews, exclusive interviews, everything we do there involving Everton. Obviously, not a good time to support Everton at the moment, but there's always something going on.
Good stuff, good stuff. Pricey, Across the Park podcast, three blues, three reds, arguing week in, week out. Yeah,
so there's three blues, three reds. There's always two of each on every week. So we have a show, usually if it's a Saturday game, then we'll have the show on the Monday night. Two from each side, doing a review of the games and a preview of the upcoming games and asking each other some questions and stuff. We also have a show a little bit later on, which is a light-hearted quiz type show, which is usually on a Thursday night. So there's no previews, reviews on that, just light-hearted. So you can find us on YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel, Across the Park. Also, that goes out as a podcast as well on all the usual podcast platforms. And we're also on Twitter and Instagram, Across the Park PC.
Good stuff, good stuff. It's a lot to remember, isn't it, when someone puts you on the spot? All the different addresses and stuff like that. I'd be all over the place when people ask me. But look, Kev, have you anything to promote right, other than Cairns?
Promote? No, Cairns, no. But I'd just like to say something about Ray Kennedy and his passing today. I'm not old enough to remember Ray Kennedy playing. Might look it, but I'm just about... I missed it by a few years, but I went on YouTube again today after the news broke, and what a player. And I look at those games and the pitches they were playing on, and you wonder, with the touch that some of these players had, the shots they scored, the goals they scored, how much would they be worth in today's money, in today's market? And you know that these players didn't earn a load of money from the game. And at 70 years of age, 70 is no age, like. And for someone to pass away at 70 years of age with the disease that he had, it's really sad. It's just a sad day for the club and for his family. And may he rest in peace. He was an absolute baller.
Yeah, he was.
In today's times, he was so good.
He was. And it's like when any player, a former player, passes away from any club, whether it be Liverpool, Everton, United, wherever, and your natural thing is to go and have a look, isn't it? You know, at YouTube videos or compilations and just, you know, like I remember when George Best died and people were showing videos of George Best. George Best was just ridiculous. But you see it all the time, you know, and it is a time for, you know, there's a Merseyside derby and there's rivalry and stuff like that, but there is times when you see someone pass away from either side of the city with regards to football where you kind of look and go, yeah, he was good. He was really, really good. And I echo what you say as well with regards to Ray Kennedy as well and everyone here at the Day Trippers, and I'm sure the lads from the blue side as well echo your comments as well.
Yeah.
That has been the midweek fix. Best of luck tomorrow, lads, Tony and Pricey. Thanks a million for joining us and giving us up your time on this Wednesday night. If either of you ever need someone to come onto a podcast for you and usually just drink cans and have a good time, give us a shout. If you need someone to do that, that's, we're all over it. If you need someone to talk sense and shit, don't bother ringing us. We're drinking cans, mate.
We know a guy for that as well.
We know guys that can talk sense and get stuck in, but cans is where we're usually at. But that's been it. Thanks to everyone in the chat. On your way out, please hit the like button. Don't forget to check out these lads' YouTube channels as well. And that's it. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.